out of the Jackson County Jail in Medford, Oregon, has had a year and a half added to his 22-year jail sentence for the escape. The judge said it cost an awful lot of money to catch you. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
I was drawn to a place in the sun.
Welcome to the Maui Topia Radio Show. I'm Ori Koppelman here with my co-host Cindy Paulus.
Aloha.
Hi, Cindy. And we're going to discuss today societies of the future.
Yay!
Cindy was first going to read my bio.
Yes, and how much would you charge me if I to use your bio? I'd like to have this bio. You could I rent your bio?
Sure.
Okay. So this is my bio. I'm renting it. It's my fee today. I am really Ori Koppelman, and I've spent 25 years of my career helping companies develop technology in conscious ways. In 1999, I permanently moved to Maui. This is actually, I'm going to now really say it the right way. This is all Ori. As the majority shareholder in a management consulting firm, you founded in 1992 in Northern California, Global Brain. I love that. You did register that. So if anyone likes it.
I wrote Peter Russell and asked for his permission to use that title. He said, yes, I wrote that book, but you can use it as much as you want.
That's wonderful. Global Brain.
But I did contact him in England.
Wow. Global Brain, Inc. And you taught clients worldwide your QRPD, which is also registered, folks, Quality Rapid Product Development methodology. Who doesn't like rapid development, huh? The result was some many companies thriving through developing products in half the time, at half the cost, with substantially less pain, less corporate dysfunction, and more profit, which is good. Which is good. we all like that. You're a former Silicon Valley executive. You're a vice president of engineering. You helped Mountain Computer Inc. grow tenfold in 6 years to $120 million in annual revenue. How much do they give you a bonus for that?
A decent amount. But
you get a nice bonus?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It allowed me to move to Maui.
Wow. Okay, and of course, you taught QRPD at Stanford University, which is very impressive, and you can sing their fight song for football.
It's all right now.
All right now. And at the University of California, Berkeley Extension for about 15 years. And boy, you had a lot of techies in your classes, I guess, huh?
Definitely.
Wow. You hold a bachelor's degree of science in electrical and computer engineering with distinction from Stanford University. Does that have a little star by your name or something?
No.
Oh, okay. You grew up, you're another one. My God, I think this was a seed pod for a lot of geniuses. Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I grew up there. I wasn't born there.
I know, but I knew, you weren't born there. But right. I think growing up counts, too. Yeah. A lot of amazing people, you know, from
Ann Arbor's a good place.
Wow.
I'm from.
You also spent time in Israel, and you speak German, Hebrew, and French.
As well as English.
How do you say aloha in Hebrew, Ori?
Shalom.
Ah, that's good. Very good. Fast answer. Your community activities include the Rotary Club of Maui and chairing the polling station in Kula. For several elections, you've engaged in intense personal growth. We won't go into that, how that happened right now, including meditation, and you believe in transformation through heightened awareness. I love that bio. Very impressive bio. That's why I like reading it, because it just impresses me so much.
Thank you so much. And in fact, I'm off to Brazil in April to do some more personal growth. There's a guy, I don't know if you guys have heard of John of God.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Possible miraculous healer.
Yeah, no, and he's supposed to be retiring soon.
He better wait.
No, Dr. Wayne Dyer went down.
Yes,
you know,
I know
that story. Went down and saw him and
he did it remotely. Right,
that's
exactly.
Right. He did it right here on Maui.
Right.
And it was done remotely, and he thought, you know, he could just act like it was just a meditation or something. Mm-hmm. But they warned him that after that happened, after the treatment on him long distance, that he would really literally feel like he had an operation and to take it easy. And indeed that happened. He had a miraculous healing, but he did feel like he'd gone through an operation.
Hmm.
after that happened. Are you, so you're going to go down in person?
Well, I'm thinking I will. Again, I have multiple sclerosis, and mm-hmm. I'm grateful that I can use a walker to walk.
Yeah.
But what my desire is to get rid of the walker.
Of course.
To have sufficient balance that I can walk like I used to.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's worth a trip down.
Well, I think so. But you could do it remotely, too, probably.
My gut feeling is it wouldn't work as well.
Well, you know, this
I've done remote sessions in my healing over the last 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And they have not been as powerful as in-person sessions.
You know, that's a very interesting subject. I'm part of a metaphysical group, and probably half the people in metaphysics, or even here on Maui, are Reiki masters, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or involved in Reiki of some kind.
Reiki's wonderful.
Yeah. But, I mean, the discussion came up just a week ago, was, is Reiki as effective?
Long distance
as it is in person. I happen to feel that it's more effective in person. Half the people felt that it was just as effective long distance, but I still feel that personal involvement in healing is important.
Maybe it depends on the person
that
you're doing it to. But anyways, let's talk about Mauitopia.
Let's talk about Mauitopia.
And now that we've read my bio, I will start today by giving the Mauitopia definition. Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future. A first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter, while pursuing our individual self-actualization. A place where we'd find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community. A place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauitopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise, Maui truly no ka'oi. In Mauitopia, we all win as we serve the rest of the world as a model of the society of the future. Now, we're going to talk, so Mauitopia is the first society of the future, but it's only the first type because I researched this and there are actually four possible societies, types of societies of the future. And I'd like to go through
those.
Where
is that based from?
My own.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I just came up with this topic of societies of the future, and I put them into four categories.
Oh, so this is your next book.
I've written four books. That's true, Cindy, but I have many ideas.
I think this would be a good book.
Well, let's first try to create Mauitopia, which is the first brand of societies of the future, which is utopian. I didn't invent that. It was coined by Sir Thomas More in 1516. And the meaning of utopia, as many of you know, is no place.
I didn't know that.
It doesn't exist, supposedly. And certainly in 1516, it didn't exist.
Huh.
It was an idyllic society on an island in the Atlantic Ocean.
Really?
Thomas More was a barrister or lawyer beheaded in 1534.
Well, he spoke too much of his own truth.
Maybe, because, I mean...
He did. I mean, it's a dangerous thing when you're involved in politics and religion. It's just very dangerous when you speak your own truth.
Well, I really hope I don't get beheaded.
Yeah, right.
He was later, by the way, I'm going back to Thomas More. He was later canonized as a saint by Pope Prius XI in 1935.
And that's where we get the name Prius for our car.
That was my last car. Okay, so that's the first brand of societies of the future, which is utopian, which, again, we're all hoping for, and that Mauitopia will be the first large-scale prototype of that anywhere in the world.
And we'll all drive Priuses then.
Negative, Houston. The second brand is one called Victory City, which was conceived in 2002. I found this online. I don't know if it's funded. It might still not be funded. But the idea is to have five 100-story buildings house a population of a little over 250,000 surrounded by fish and poultry farms.
Well, that can never happen on Maui. You're not going to get a five.
You know, Cindy, that's one of the great laws in Maui. You know how Maui is different than Oahu?
Yeah.
You know which law it is?
You're not allowed to have buildings over the top of the trees.
Well, actually, it's 10 stories.
Yeah. So you're not going to get a 100-story building in here.
And I think a lot of people these days would not like to have this kind of victory city. But that was somebody, you know, reputable, came up with this idea. The third type of society of the future is a science fiction one, like in Star Trek. Many of us think about beaming over and doing all the things they do in Star Trek. But obviously that's kind of futuristic.
I like that. We could have a Star Trek city here in Maui.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. You'd get a lot of people who want to come to Star Trek City.
That's a good business idea.
It is. It is. Think about the people that would come. You'd have a little beam-me-up machine, place where you could actually beam people up. And
I like it.
I think it'd be great. Everyone could dress up in the costume just like a full-time little Trekkie convention.
I like it.
I do, too. I mean, people would go there. They'd pay to get in, a little miniature Star Trek village.
It could be another Maui attraction.
It could.
Now, the fourth brand of societies of the future, and this one is not as nice, is called dystopia, or the opposite of utopia. It's totalitarian, dehumanizing, and Nazi-like. We have had those societies. In fact, we still have. In North Korea or some places on the planet where there is a totalitarian regime and it's, like I said, it's the opposite of utopia. I won't spend too much time on that.
Definitely dysfunctional. So these are good ideas. I like these ideas for villages. I'm going to give you my papers.
What did I do?
I don't know, but I've got the rest of it.
I gave you the CD, right? Okay. So what we're going to focus on is creating a society of the future, which again is Mauitopia. So we have a song for that.
Song.
Me too.
You know, that's not the Byrds song. It's Bob Dylan's song, done very well by the Byrds.
And now we're going to put on the song I meant to have put on.
But I like that song.
It did keep us in a good mood.
It did. I was singing along. Seen the stage show of that?
No, I haven't. I'm too
young. I haven't either.
Oh, yeah?
No, I saw the movie, of course, but I would love to see that. Maybe they should do it up here at the EL. Wouldn't that be fun to see? Oh, they did do it, and we missed it. Were they naked on that naked scene? They were. Wow. No, but that's a great song, The Age of Aquarius. I'm Aquarius. Are
I am
you?
Too, yes.
When's your birthday?
February 15th.
Not.
How about you?
Not. February 15th.
Oh, my God. Just kidding.
My God,
two people in the room with the same birthday.
Oh,
that's really unusual.
And honest to gosh, we didn't know this till this moment. That is too synchronistic.
Wow.
That's why we've been going to the same places. I saw his car at Costco the other day, and then I was down at the Queen Kalamono Center, and his car was there. We were twins separated at birth.
Wow.
I mean, I've only met one other person with my same birthday before in my life.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're the only other one on Maui, that's for sure.
I think they say it's a 1 in 18 chance.
We won't say the year, but we'll check we'll check when we're off mic. But that's impressive. Yeah, but I mean, there is something about this. I mean, I've studied a little bit of astrology. Have you?
Yes.
And there is something about the Aquarian energy, you know, and definitely there is astrologically thing based on that song. There was a time where things were aligned. But the Aquarians by nature are very humanitarian people.
And one part of that is my futuristic thinking in terms of trying to create a society like Mauitopia.
It's all because of being an Aquarian.
I guess.
I think we should only allow Aquarians in Mauitopia.
No.
Okay.
As hopefully the future mayor, I got the first call this morning interviewing me for the Maui Times.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I did? That's cool.
And they said, do I know of anybody other than myself running? I said, no. And they said, they haven't heard of anybody either.
Well, that's cool. You got it on your car already.
Yeah.
All
right. So anyways, it's mostly a popularity contest, and that's one of the reasons I'm obviously doing this show.
Well, all of politics, your presidential vote's mostly a popularity contest.
Right. It's how many people know your name at
it
the
is.
Ballot box.
It is true.
Yeah, which is why one of the reasons I have a book.
Well, that's not true. Okay, so like they're already starting against Roger Christie, of course, with that thing. But I mean, you know, if you don't have a
Chris
black
Christie.
Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Is it Roger?
Yeah.
But Chris, you know, there's really, if you do something nasty, really nasty, then you're kind of, and so that's why everyone tries to find that nasty you've done to completely just throw you out of the contest.
Correct. But one of the things I did 4 years ago when I ran is I published this pamphlet called Creating Mauitopia, mm-hmm. which describes some of my ideas for what we would like to create in Maui, which is Mauitopia. And I thought that being in charge of the county government, we could have the county government model what Mauitopia would be like.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody would be doing what they love mm-hmm. and are qualified to do.
And would the offices be in the Star Trek village?
Well, I hadn't met you yet.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
You know, I could see the council meetings being held in the Star Trek council chamber. I'm sorry. It's getting silly, huh?
No, it's good to be liked once in a while. In fact, even though I don't think you're a teenager.
No.
However, we are going to have
Seeing
to
as I've been on the air here 24 years, I don't think I'm a teenager.
Oh yeah, then you're 24 plus 18
right,
at least.
Right.
I have a sheet of statistics about our people of the future, because those are the teenagers of today. And it's
kind of a scary thought.
Well,
yes and no. There are amazing. I've met some people who are teenagers who are so completely tuned into their computers.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's the positive and the negative, right?
The negative is they're too in.
Yeah, I mean, right. They're just geniuses on
yes.
what they can do, but they are so focused on that screen and their computer and, mm-hmm. and their time spent texting. You have a figure here that blew my mind.
So I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
So 73% of 12 to 17-year-olds use their own cell phones, which is, again, none of these statistics are good or bad.
Yeah,
it's just
what
is,
yeah.
You know, and then it's a matter of, I think overall it's a positive trend that we as a humanity are becoming more techno-capable. And that is one of the things that should enable a society like Mauitopia. A third of teenagers sent over 100 text messages a day.
Now that one blew my mind. I mean, I would have, if you'd asked me how many texts, I would have thought maybe 30.
How many?
Maybe 35. I wouldn't have, I mean, that 100 text messages a day.
It's constantly.
That is constant.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're not supposed to do it in the car, but
right.
you see the passengers in the car
yes.
doing it. You see people at restaurants. I mean, 100 a day would be just
amazing. And again,
wow.
it's only a third of teenagers. And, like, you know, I probably send maybe a few a day.
So when you do the text messages by your brain functions, which, you know, it's not that far off, because you've mm-hmm. seen those, that 60-minute show where you can actually think something.
And it's...
And it actually causes that machine, the robot,
that
to
would
do
be neat.
It. You could do your thought to text messages. And
right.
I think that really could happen within 10 or 15 years.
I think so, too. I think it's really hard to predict what will happen in the future because of... When I used to teach at the universities, I gave a doubling rate of technology,
mm-hmm.
which, like, everything that humanity has known about technology, if you call that one and the year zero,
mm-hmm.
it took 1,500 years to double. So it was two at the year 1,500. And today, it's like a million.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the doubling rate is...
It's unbelievable.
It's
yes.
unbelievable.
Yeah. But 100 text messages a day... I mean, says something that completely, I mean, that figure will stick in my mind. That is that says so much to me about where the focus is for teenagers.
Right.
Right?
And again, that's only a third of them, but still, mm-hmm. that's obviously a growing number. The other thing is two-thirds of children and teenagers have no rules from their parents on cell phone use.
Well, yeah, I can understand that, because you know what? There are some blocks you can put, but basically, if kids want to use their cell phone, they're going to use it.
And, right.
You know, I mean, how are you going to do? Have a tracking device and monitor everything they do as far as their messages?
It's hard.
Yeah, and kids aren't going to put up with that anyway, right?
Right.
They'll find a way around
Especially
it.
Especially teenagers, it's like,
they'll get a separate cell phone and
right.
just, right, yeah. So why can, how can you really control what a kid's going to do with their
Hard.
Cell phone, right? Yeah.
And then the disturbing part is that 23% of high school students smoked marijuana last month. And that, by the way, is a national statistic. It could mm-hmm. be, it could be higher than that in Maui.
And it could be a lot higher than that in Colorado.
Oh.
Even though you're not allowed
we're
under 21,
legal.
Yeah, but I mean, if they have a parent, right, that's mm-hmm. using it,
and, right,
yeah,
but they can get it. If,
of course, if
right.
their parents are using it
right.
and have it, in. I mean, did you hear the figure on this? When it started a week and a day ago, the legalization of marijuana in Colorado, mm-hmm. it was $100 an ounce because of the demand, which there was a huge amount available, but it's all going so fast that in 1 week's time now it's going for $400 an ounce.
Wow.
Every single warehouse in Colorado is being used for growing marijuana. There is no extra available space
Incredible.
In warehouses.
Yeah. Well, and again, we didn't want to talk about this topic.
But that's a reality, you know.
It's, why don't we open up the phone lines and invite callers to call at the same time? We could talk about this in a minute and talk some more about Mauitopia. But we do want to – do I need to give the number, Gary?
Yes, 242-7800. And I'm going to repeat it because, you know, a lot of our listeners are in the car.
Right.
Really. I mean, I'd like some stats
Text
on
messaging.
That. Text
messaging.
No, 242-7800. What do we want them to talk about? Or can they talk about anything or what they think for the future? Or?
They can talk about anything, but obviously the topic for today is called Societies of the Future. That's the name of this show today. Even though, of course, we're talking about Mauitopia is the brand of the Society of the Future that I'm promoting.
Well, if anyone wants to call about their perfect Star Trek society that could be achieved right here on Maui, which is now, can we copyright the idea? No. Can we trademark? No. What if someone steals our idea, Ori, and they do this? Well, can we say that was like, did you see the headlines in the paper today? About this guy Tom saying that they stole his idea for the Matrix because he submitted a...
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, okay. But anyway, our idea is, okay, societies of the future. Basically, we want them to be what? What would you say you would like to see in Mauitopia? If you're mayor of Mauitopia, right. What would you ideally, in your dream of Mauitopia, would you like to see happen?
What we want is for everybody to be doing for work what they love to do and are qualified to do. I mean, obviously,
okay.
I can't go be an airline pilot because...
And I can't either.
Yeah.
Because my eyesight's too bad. Did fly. Did you fly ever, too?
Yes.
See? Oh, God. We
Only once, actually.
No, I mean, I flew
I
small
pilot.
Planes.
Oh.
But I had my solo license, and I flew some.
Oh,
but
wow.
Then I landed. I scared myself. I did. I really scared myself.
The takeoff is not scary. This yeah, landing.
I think someone's calling in. Aloha. You're on the air live on Mauitopia. And how are you today?
Oh, hi guys. I was just driving in the car, so I pulled over because I heard that hot topic about the legalization of recreational marijuana in Colorado, and I wanted to chime in on that.
Please do, and because this might be part of Mauitopia. What would you think? Do you think Maui should have legalization of marijuana?
Well, I was at the Democratic Party of Maui's upcountry meeting last night, and I was suggesting that they consider or... file a motion to have it put on the upcoming ballot.
Wow.
And let the people vote on it.
Yep.
You know, with the civil unions and the same-sex marriage issue, it was only the state legislators that were allowed to vote on the issue. The
yep.
people really didn't have their voice mm-hmm. heard. And I would like to see that put on the ballot and let the people decide rather than you know, the government decide.
Okay,
but
would you vote for if it was on the ballot?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of on the fence. I don't really oppose it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really support it either because there's pros and cons on both sides. You know, the pros, you know, it helps fight anger management. It helps with depression.
Mm.
You know, especially with young teens who are fighting over girls.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see them take a puff and chill out rather than have them break each other's noses and end up in the hospital.
Or getting drunk and driving.
Yeah, well, so I think it's good as a medical sedative, you know. And just for recreational, some people just like to, you know, relax and, you know, just like having a beer, you know, and if you do it responsibly, I don't see a problem with it. And the other pro on it is the agricultural crops. As you said, the price just went up to $400 an ounce.
It would be a huge, huge financial, economic boon
and
to the
island. We have the sunlight 24/7 here in Hawaii, whereas those states in the mainland, we could be a huge exporter to supply those states during the winter months.
Interesting. Now, that's not been covered yet. No state has been able to do that. Now, that would bring up some interesting new laws.
Not to mention the byproduct, which is hemp.
Yes, that's huge.
You know, so you could use the hemp. So a lot of good things. But one of the issues that came up last night at the meeting was, you know, there's a lot of water issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether the ag workers, they don't have enough water and then the whole crop dies or something was going on with that. So there are some issues, but I would really like to see it put on the ballot for the people to vote on.
Yeah, you know, and do you know the rules of what it takes to put something on the ballot like that? I can't remember how many signatures.
Well, it has to be, a bill has to be submitted by a member of the state legislature.
Okay.
So an average citizen cannot, I don't believe, go around and get signatures and petition for it.
Uh-huh.
It has to be one of our representatives.
Interesting. Well, you know, I think there might be some far-reaching people that might really see the economic benefits very strong. There would be, I think, as much contention over this bill as there probably would be with the same-sex marriage. It'd be very contentious because there's a lot of old line, you know, people.
Absolutely.
Here on Maui.
I'm sorry, I'm Ori, by the way, and I didn't catch your name.
My name's Antonio.
Oh, Antonio. Permit. Yes, you've called before. Antonio, I'm curious, how would you compare legalizing marijuana with prohibition, which we had about 100 years ago, where we tried to outlaw alcohol?
Well, the one of the issues last night that the chairman had was that he was kind of upset about how many people are incarcerated for frivolous crimes, you know, like possession of a joint. There's people in jail, and the taxpayers are paying for them.
And we do not have enough room in our jails as it is right now.
Yeah, so that was one of his concerns last night, that they were trying to figure out why do we have some of these people in jail when the crimes they committed are so kind of frivolous, you know, like $500 in parking fines, you just park, or, you know, skateboarding on the boardwalk, you know, that's a crime, but people get arrested and put in jail for things like that, you know, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, to me, having alcohol be legal would be the same as having pot be legal. I don't see a difference, really, as far as they're both intoxicants.
Well, I'd compare it more to cigarettes. You know, if cigarettes
that's
are legal,
a good comparison, yes.
Why shouldn't marijuana be legal? You know, they're both carcinogens.
Well, I think it also would be a boon to tourism because, you know, a lot of people come to Maui. I don't know how many times I've driven down the road to Hana and there's guys on the side of their own
Maui Wowie.
Yeah, they try to pull you over to get you. You know, but I mean, there are many people that would come to Maui and want to buy some marijuana for their vacation here.
It could be a little bit, but I would want the entire state to be legalized.
Oh, it'd have to be. Yeah.
I wouldn't just want, like, Maui County to be legalized because then you'd have a whole bunch of homeless people who like to smoke pot coming here, and then it would be a problem. To have the entire state, that way you would avoid, you know, huge flockings of people who are homeless or not financially fit to, and then it'd become a burden on the taxpayers, you know, here.
I think it'd have to be the whole state.
I think you can't legally separate a law like
Maui
that.
Maui can't just do it, unless we separate from the state.
No.
I mean...
Maui Topium.
I'll leave it on this and I'll let you guys go. But if you run into any of our state legislators, like Kaniela Ng or Kailani English or Roz Baker, or, you know, try to see if you can persuade them to get it on the ballot, to submit a bill to have it put on the ballot.
Okay, well, thank you.
For the people to vote on.
That's
I appreciate you calling,
Thanks
Antonio.
So
you have a good day. Aloha. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this is a hot topic. Mm. It is, Ori.
For sure.
There was an interesting film, you know, Barry Rivers had at the First Light last Sunday. He did the show on hemp. There was a discussion with a lot of people, including Dr. Joe and others, and there was a movie about hemp and how valuable hemp is. Hemp is a huge, around the world, it's a huge product.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they talked about the water. I would think if this really starts to become on the radar screen a possibility, I would think HCNS would figure out a way
to harvest
to do it. Yes, because
make
some
money.
Because of the money and the fact that they've got the water,
mm-hmm.
you know, and with their space, and if they were to be open-minded enough to think of use for hemp, and with their space and what they have, I mean, they'd be in the ideal position to all of a sudden going from an industry that's really struggling to all of a sudden making a buku business that's just raking in the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the economics, even though there's some old line people there, I think the economics, if it started to look like it was become a reality, would be something they couldn't ignore.
The thing is, I'm not sure about the financial trade-offs between developing the land for commercial purposes versus agricultural.
Mm-hmm.
I know people on the island who do want it kept agricultural just so it stays green.
Yeah. No, that's true. People
but
do because
the fact is, people like HCNS and mm-hmm. Baldwin and so on, they're developing their land into commercial shopping centers.
But look at all the land they still have.
They have lots.
There's going to be a lot of land still open.
Yes.
Yeah, and they have warehouses to grow it in. They can grow it outside.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
They don't even need the warehouses. But
and
no,
because
they
of
have
that one law of the fact that buildings can't be over 10 stories on Maui, we will not end up having a million people like in Honolulu, in Oahu. So we should have some room for a while.
Yeah, so and you could sell it at the Star Trek Center that we're going to be building, right? And you could have that as part, you know, and you could have it for sale there at the Star Trek Central.
That would be good.
I am not a Trekkie, but I have to say, I love Star Trek. I mean, who doesn't, you know? I mean, I couldn't name you all the names, but I like Star Trek. But it is interesting to me that with all the techies and even what's the name of that show on TV where they have all the two Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
I mean, I love watching that. But they captured that fascination with that generation with Star Trek. To me, it's very interesting. Mm. It's very, very interesting that there is a generation that is a younger generation that's so into Star Trek.
Well, all over the world.
All over the world,
and that's actually kind of, I think, one of the hopes for humanity is so many people are just into, you know, forget about all this fighting and all this stuff of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move to the future. And they're all expecting to be beamed over.
And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, even though there was James Cameron, Pandora, he, you know, created that whole thing, it never took off with that movie just the same way Star Trek did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that might, because it was a 3D movie and kind of cutting edge And that was a generation. That was based on a generation in the future
mm-hmm.
where they had to go harvest and get more land and planets, right? James, what was it called?
Avatar,
yes. Avatar was definitely his vision, was a vision of what the future could be, right?
Yeah, I didn't like that movie.
Only because they were trying to take over Pandora?
It's just, I don't know, it was too long. And
yeah.
It's just one of those movies that just didn't
do
it for me.
Why do you love Star Trek?
Because of the fact that it's futuristic and because they treat... Now, notice that there is a hierarchy. I mean, I like the new Star Trek better than the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Picard, he's in charge. And people know that you pretty much have to go by the rules. And again, you know, we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
I mean, people think, oh, great, I'll live in Mauitopia. There'll be no rules. I can go do whatever I want. I'm sorry to say. I mean, when I was younger, I used to think it'd be great to have no rules. But now that I'm a little bit older, I'm 51,
mm-hmm.
not that old, but I believe that we all, as a society, as people living together, we have to have some, whether it's traffic rules
mm-hmm.
or water rules or whatever kind of rules. In fact, I have in my hand the Campaign Spending Commission's rules for how much, as somebody who's running for mayor, if I abide by the Campaign Spending Commission's rules, what their limit for mayor would be. So it turns out For the primary, it's $152,000, and for the general, it's another $152,000. So $300,000 is the total I could raise and spend to become mayor of Maui. And again, I spoke last week about the fact that I don't think that is a society of the future.
But if you ran on the platform of starting a Star Trek village here on Maui, you could tap into that audience. And if anyone is a Trekkie out there, I'd love to hear from you. You can call 242-7800. That's 242-7800. On Saturday, we have a great show. It's Q&A. And they're computer geeks, you know. And they're absolute Trekkies. Oh my gosh, they are so, you know, one of those that really binge on it and stuff. And they are also, and this is interesting, very smart. Oh, very, very smart. Jonathan, and they're all brilliant guys. But they're definitely into also NASA and space travel and what's going on Mars and what's going on.
Absolutely.
And I think that's an element of the future and technology that has this fascination with space and time travel and things such as that.
You know that how honored I was when I consulted for NASA, actually, in Houston.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I spent a couple of days teaching all of their project managers, including their contractors, because they were behind schedule on doing something called the SSSTF, Space Station Simulation and Training Facility, which was they were going to mock up here on Earth how the astronauts were going to put together the space station in space. Because they didn't want anything to go wrong once you're in space.
Well, that makes sense.
So they were going to, you know, try it all down here.
Uh-huh.
So this was, I think, a $1 billion project that the U.S. government was going to spend, mostly on software, by the way, to create a simulation laboratory where the astronauts could get trained. And because after those, I spent about a week with them, and I taught them a course, they were so grateful to me that they gave me a ride on the space shuttle simulator.
Wow.
Which was a lot of fun.
Oh, what was it like? Was it very futuristic?
I crashed it twice.
Oh, that's expensive.
It turns out, by the way, that hour cost the U.S. government $10,000.
For 1 hour?
For me to have a ride.
Can we get that and have that part of our Star Trek city?
Maybe.
I think it'd be cool. People would pay. Think $10,000 an hour for a ride in a space simulator. Probably now, because it's old, you could do it, get it cheap.
Yeah, I don't know.
And NASA sold off a bunch of their stuff.
Sure.
You could probably get it on eBay.
I don't know about that.
But if anyone's a Trekkie, we want your ideas of what you want in our Star Trek city here on Maui. You can call 242-7800 because we're creating Star Trek City in our minds right now. It's a futuristic development, but why not?
Yes, and so the Trekkies will understand that on the descent in the space shuttle simulator, there is no power. It's all it's a matter of the angle of entry as far as gliding down to Earth.
It takes a lot of skill.
And so I crashed twice on the way down. The third time, the co-pilot, who was a NASA astronaut, said, "Would you like some help?"
Yeah, I think, yes.
And I said, "Sure." And he helped me get the angle just right, and then we landed safely, which was very exhilarating.
Well, you know, there is something about being in space. Did you see Gravity?
Yes.
You know, it was kind of after you watched Gravity for about an hour into it, you did feel like you were kind of floating and you were in
space.
Didn't you kind of feel like you were in a weightless space?
Yes.
It wasn't like being in a space simulator, but they were trying to achieve that kind of feeling. Right.
Sandra Bullock, right?
Yeah.
The actress.
And George Clooney.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was, you know, and again, I think it did pretty well because, I mean, there is this fascination with space. And it is, what is it, our last frontier.
Yes.
But it is our last frontier.
I'm hearing the Star Trek song in my head.
You know, we were waiting for Shaggy to bring it to us, but he said he would. But where it happened to it, Gary? It was on our way. We need to hear.
Yeah, that would be good.
But you know, this is something that I think basically what's being planted by some of the people fascinated with this seeds for the creation of the future. I mean, this is some of those ideas are things that they align with. And when you align with it and you're in tune with it, you're actually planting seeds in your own mind for something that could happen in the future, right?
Which will be wonderful. And I was just thinking, I know that we're a little bit off topic, but because we were talking about societies of the future, although maybe it is on topic, because in a way, when I think about Star Trek, and again, I've probably seen every single episode.
Remember the one where they had the whale, they had to bring the whale back? Because there was no more whale. The whales was, and the whale had a certain song, was the only song that could actually save the planet.
Right.
And they had to actually deliver the whale back to Earth because the planet was going to actually, without the whales, going to be. You don't remember that one?
No, I'm sorry. It's been years since I've seen them all. I actually own all of them on DVD.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but it's been years since I saw them.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You could really binge it any time then.
Well,
go watch the one about the whale.
The whale.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's good that we are talking about it because there's a lot of things about Star Trek that I really like as a society.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason that Mauitopia cannot take on a lot of those qualities.
Which one would you be, Spock? No, come on. Everyone identifies
again,
with the character.
I like the new Star Trek, the Next Generation.
Yeah.
So I've always identified the most with Picard.
Okay.
You know, although he's French. But
I kind of identify with Spock.
Oh, yeah?
When I was growing up and watching it, I kind of identify. I could always see Spock's point of view.
He's very rational.
Yeah, well, he was, you know, and I could see, like, what he was able to cut right through to what the situation was. And because he played that character, his test was always testing his logic and sense with emotions that he had to learn to deal with. Because
Which
he was surrounded by, people who thought emotionally, right?
Yes.
So you could see his eventuality happening because he was the one that needed to be changed to think more like the people who used emotions.
Like us humans.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I found that fascinating. And it is interesting that there is this fascination with that idea. And I do think as we're going into the future, we've seen some cutbacks to NASA, as you know. But they are doing, of course, amazing things robotically already with Mars. I don't know if you saw this, but there's on display, I think in New York right now, a display of all the pictures taken on Mars, the best ones. And they're absolutely gorgeous pictures. And I know if you've gone to any NASA site, some of the pictures they have of the universe and the black hole and things that they can, some of the pictures
things
are amazing.
Things they've taken from the Hubble telescope.
Oh my
yes.
gosh, they're gorgeous.
Yes.
It's art, you know? I mean, it's art of the finest, highest degree.
And we're really lucky to be living in this day and age because people, I mean, really only in this century or last century, we started finding out what a small part of the whole universe we live in and how much greater it is. I mean, how many wonderful things there are way beyond us. So, of course, we're naturally curious about
and
what's all out there.
More recently found that there are probably most likely parallel planets that have life on them.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think the odds are that there's no life anywhere in the
universe? I definitely believe there's life out there in the universe. I definitely believe it.
Me too.
We would be so egocentrically close-minded if we would say we were the only...
Anthropomorphic.
No, I don't... just not quite like Star Trek. I don't think there's beings necessarily that look like us.
Right.
But I think there's definitely beings.
Life could mean something completely different to human beings.
And I mean, they may even be in a higher realm. It might be an energetic life, you know? Did you find it?
Shaggy left and he forgot.
God. Okay. He's kicked out of our Star Trek village. He just lost his membership rights. If anyone wants to call and they have a ringtone, a Star Trek ringtone, you could even call and we could hear it in your ringtone. But I guess if you're calling, we couldn't hear your ringtone. But no, it is good to have visions of space as a concept because we, as we hear about what's going on in space, we kind of open our minds. I think it actually do open our minds to more possibilities.
One of the ideas I had years ago was that if we got invaded from outer space, then finally all the people on planet Earth would all become united as far as we'd have an external enemy to fight.
That's an interesting point. That's a very, I never quite thought of that, but...
What was that movie that they kind of tried to do that? Was it Independence Day?
Yeah, that was, that movie could have, you know, one of those movies that could have and they didn't.
Right.
You know, but you know what, I do take offense at all of the movies that try to portray, not the early ones, what's his name, that first one didn't, but all the later movies that try to portray aliens as evil beings wanting to take over our planets and eat us alive and kill us.
It could be either way. To be honest.
I don't think so.
You think they're more evolved than us?
I think they're more evolved, and if they could get here, they're way more evolved.
Well, one possibility is that they are more evolved.
I think they are.
In which case, they may not even want to bother with us yet because we're too
primitive.
What's
it always? They need more space or something. They need more room. Their planet's dying. Isn't that the other? The planet's dying, and they need another place to put
a lot
their...
Of, yes.
But no, I.
But that is one possibility, is that they look at us as being
probably,
too primitive for
I think, I
to
think
make contact with.
I truly believe that we are a very primitive society.
Me too, but there's also the other possibility that we are actually evolved compared to, there may be, I mean, for example, just think that there is a society, unless it's maybe even human,
mm-hmm.
the way
the Planet of the Apes?
Something like the Planet of Apes or Planet Earth. 5,000 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Or 20,000 years ago would be worse.
But you know what? I would prefer
man.
I would prefer to see a planet 5,000 years ago, even though they were awful. At least they didn't have the weapons of destruction, and they didn't have the guns.
Of mass destruction.
Yes,
yeah.
And even if they were going to be killing each other, it was done by hand. It wasn't done by massive forces,
right.
You know, with that taking place, because when we evolved our whole society, we also de-evolved because we also, along with it, out of fear, felt we had to protect ourselves more. And there is some truth to that. We do. But those fears are still here on the planet and can actually destroy us, each other.
And hopefully we are, I believe I'm living in the time where war, and I've mentioned this before on the show, that the time of physical violence, one to another, will end. Where people realize, I mean, we have plenty of fights and arguments.
Well, it's going to end because we're going to kill those people who are violent.
That's not me. That's Cindy.
Okay. Just forget the three strikes. You're violent, we're going to kill you. That'll take care of the problem. We don't have overcrowded prisons. If we just put them all, just kill them all. No, I think we should let them play in their own city. We'll let them have their own guns. Everyone is going to start getting guns and killing other people. I think we should have them in their own prison, and they can all shoot each other out there in their own prison. They can have their own grounds where they have their guns and let them all work it out there.
Would they have a fence so that they don't
bother
us? Yeah, this
could be their
okay.
playground. Could be they're given
playground.
Their guns of choice.
There's a chapter in one of my books called Prisoner Playground.
Oh, not.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because spiritually speaking, I think we each create a prisoner playground in our minds.
Well, we do.
Yeah, whether we're coming from fear or love,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, that's the limitations and boundaries that we have to overcome. But if you don't have boundaries to overcome, you don't necessarily get stronger.
Hmm.
I mean, I think that's my feeling. That's why you come to Earth, because you've got so many boundaries and restrictions here that you have to build up your chops to just get out of this place, you know.
Right.
I mean, to get past the other people who are less evolved than the evolved.
And you're correct in the sense that spiritually we're all one, right?
Mm-hmm.
In spirit.
Mm-hmm. In spirit.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of animals out there.
Sorry.
I mean, I have great compassion for the people who are literally just in another place, which you want to call it lower chakras, or lost in their desire to control the world, or lost in their egotism where they think
they're doing
they
the best
do
they can, given
they
what,
are, but I mean,
given
just,
what they have to work with.
They will evolve to our Star Trek village eventually. But are there going to be weapons in our Star Trek village then?
You know, it's interesting. I used to have somebody work for me who lived in Canada and said, I don't know what you guys talk about, all these guns and things. It's like nobody's allowed to have a gun.
In England, and yeah,
it's
I know.
Like in the United States,
they've
we feel very strongly about the right to bear arms,
oh,
right?
Tell me, what's the NRA about? How much money do they have?
I don't know.
Enough to keep people from stopping having guns. They have enough to control the government.
So hopefully in our lifetimes, we will get beyond having to protect ourselves physically. Again, there's lots of things to argue about intellectually as far as what kind of crops to grow or what kind of business to run or what kind of entertainment to have, what kind of movies to show. There's lots of things we can do. We don't need to be fighting. And, you know, even things like boxing. I'm not a big fan of that sport. I like lots of sports.
So, because this is the Aquarian. I mean, hope people are understanding we're playing here, but as two Aquarians going off. But, you know, okay, so people like their games. We know that the video game business is massively huge. We know that it's now influenced the movies that we see, and almost all movies and a lot of TV shows now try to incorporate video strategy games in so they can also sell the video game or their concept to a video game, or that people will enjoy going because it looks like a video game,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we were to try to, and I think it's very imperative that somehow we try to get people involved in video games that are violent, how would that be possible? That may be a Star Trek video without the guns.
Without video violence.
Game. Yeah. Yeah, we got it. There's got to be some video games without violence eventually to stop all this killing.
Because you're right. It's ingraining that into our younger audience.
It is.
We only have four minutes left, Gary says.
Oh.
So I want to, number one, repeat my name. I'm Ori Kopelman, and Cindy Paulus is my co-host. And if somebody would like to call, I'll repeat the number again. It's 242-7800. This is the Mauitopia Show. We've been talking about societies of the future. And if you would like to contribute anything, and please don't be shy to call. I know I'm always shy to call a radio station and be on the air, but if I'm sure everything...
Why don't we offer them something? We're going to
offer
them a citizenship in Star Trek Village. If they call... Well, that would do it. I mean, wouldn't you call if you were being offered a citizenship?
Sure.
A passport to Star Trek Village?
Maybe.
How much would you sell it for? Oh, my gosh. No, I mean, it really, it could probably happen. You could start it here and franchise it, Ori.
Hmm.
But you'd have to get permission from the Star Trek people. But they could sell other Star Trek goods, so they'd make a lot of money off it.
Yeah.
How come they haven't thought of this before?
A village?
Yeah, little Star Trek villages.
I don't know. Yeah, they've obviously they've made lots of money based on Star Trek. Now, let me close, since we haven't gotten another caller, I want to make sure to read my closing statement. I'm Ori Kopelman, hoping you live your dream in 2014 and do what you love for work as we create Mauitopia on Maui. And Cindy adds, with or without a Star Trek village.
I love the idea. I could just see it. I think we should build it. Will you check on that for the next show?
Sure.
Okay. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Ori, because you're very brilliant.
Thank you, Cindy.
And you have great ideas. And you don't mind playing in Mauitopia.
And I don't necessarily have all the right ideas for creating Mauitopia, and that's why certainly people can go to my website at mauitopia.org. and email me or call into the show. I mean, we as a group of people, I mean, there's 155,000 people here, we are all going to co-create it together.
I think it's going to have marijuana.
And it'll be legal.
And it will be legal. And because of that, it'll be very, very, very wealthy community. And wealthy enough to build Star Trek Village.
That's what, when people say go green, that they'll have
it
a different meaning.
Absolutely, absolutely. We could be the whole first island to do that. But no, it's nice to have dreams. And, you know, you want not nightmares, you want nice positive dreams, you know. And if we don't start expanding our consciousness to think of how we can make it better, we're going to get stuck in where we are, right?
Yes. Did you know that you were wearing a green shirt today?
I know. I'm thinking green. I am. I love green. You know, green's a good color. It's a heart color. But Mauitopia is a beautiful idea, and you have those free pamphlets. People can find out the whole, more of it, what it's about online, right?
You can get the whole pamphlet, which takes like 20 minutes to read. It's available for free at mauitopia.org.
Okay.
And please go there and get it, and please feel free to call in next week at the same time.
Aloha.
Aloha.